ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
To become a friend of all, to become a friend of every living being, this is a special qualification a devotee achieves in life. He becomes a friend of everyone. Suhrdam sarva bhutanam is said for Krishna, but also for devotees. There's a verse in the fifth chapter.
Lavante brahma nirvanam sushaya kshina kalmashaham chinna dvaidayatatmanah sarva bhuta hiteratah.
So that is a sarva bhuta hiteratah. He is a well-wisher of everyone. He becomes a friend of everyone. Generally in this world, every person in this world is worrying about feeding, caring and protecting only the near and dear ones. Just like, for that matter, any living being, even a cat or a dog or a bird, they are feeding, caring and protecting all the near and dear ones. Feeding means they have to get food for them. And caring means from the cold of the winter and heat of the summer, they have to give them and they have to care for their body, care for their health and everything. And protecting from their enemies whenever there is a fear or threat for life. So every one of us consider some people to be more important than others in the world. First, most important person for us is ourselves. So we have to feed, care and protect ourselves. Then the next is maybe one's father, mother, wife, children. Then come the relatives. Then maybe the friends, circle. Then maybe people born in the same caste, or people belonging to the same state or the country. So gradually this circle spreads wider and wider like that. So when we talk of being friendly with somebody, that depends on whom we consider to be our friend and whom we consider to be our enemy. Those who do not promote our sense gratification, we consider them our enemies. And those who come as competitors in our life, who do the same business or who are in the same mission like us, then they become our competitors. Then they become our enemies also. So it's very difficult for one to become a friend of everyone. It may be possible for us to be a friend of some people, but not possible to be a friend of everyone. Because when you throw two stones in water, it produces ripples. As long as the ripples don't touch one another, there is no clash. So in the world also, people are very good friends as long as their sensitive pursuits don't collide with one another. But then as the ripples become bigger and bigger and bigger, then there is a collision point when they collide. Similarly, amongst friends also there can be big fights. But a devotee of Krishna is a friend of everyone, because the whole world becomes his house or home. It's called Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. Vasudha Eva Kutumbakam. That means the whole earth becomes his family. And all the members of this creation become his family members. That means everyone is his brother. So we talk of universal brotherhood. Nowadays I heard they have replaced this universal brotherhood with another word. They are calling it as humanhood or something like that. Because Mataji is also included in that. Sisterhood is also included in that. When you say brotherhood, only males are included. So he sees everyone to be his brother or sister or relative like that. He feels compassion for every living being. Actually, when one advances in Krishna consciousness, one can feel this kind of compassion towards every living being. Shivananda Sen felt compassion even for a dog. He felt compassion for a dog, even this is also. such a great compassion for a dog. They wanted to deliver that dog. What to speak of other men and women of this world. So one feels compassion for everyone. So we were saying in the previous class, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Pran. For such a devotee, Krishna is the mother, Krishna is the father, Krishna is the only wealth, and Krishna is his very life. So he lives life like that. And that's why ISKCON, when Prabhupada made ISKCON, one very great devotee, he made a statement. Srila Prabhupada built a house where the whole world can live in. So this is like umbrella under which the whole world can take shelter, irrespective of your caste, or creed, or color, nationality, educational status. Irrespective of all this, everyone can take shelter, just like everyone took shelter under the Govardhan hill when Krishna rested it. All gopis and gopas and hillary covered men and women and cows and calves and all animal forest animals, everyone took shelter. Similarly, ISKCON is also a society made by Srila Prabhupada to give shelter to everyone. And one who advances in devotional life can clearly see that there is no difference. When one becomes a devotee, there is no difference. Everyone is on an equal platform. Then he becomes a friend of everyone. And great souls, they are, when we say they are friend of everyone, see, it's very easy to be a friend of somebody who also has a temperament like you. It's very easy. But to be a friend of somebody who has an opposite temperament is very difficult. All of us, we have several opinions in our life, and we are very rigidly attached to our opinions. And we just can't hear others' opinions. There is a story in Mahabharata. There was a great waterfall that was coming from the Himalayas down. So the oceans were asking once, these waterfalls which was ultimately ending in the ocean, that why didn't you bring that particular type of grass, that particular type of grass available in Himalayas. It's very sweet. Why didn't you bring that grass? I am seeing that you are bringing big trees, huge trees. You are uprooting those trees and you are, the trees are toppling in your waters and then you are bringing them to the ocean. But what about that particular grass you are not bringing? Then the waterfall was told that this tree, he stands rigidly on my way. And when I come with the great gushing waters, he doesn't bend down. So I uproot him and I bring him to the ocean. Whereas this grass, when I come down forcefully, he bows down, he said. So those people who are flexible, they will be very happy always. Those people who are very rigid will be the most frustrated. So you all can check our own heart. how much rigid am I? Due to which, how much frustration I am facing in life. Always, friends and life partners, they expect the other person to bend according to their need. Why don't that person change? You never ask, why don't I change? You rarely worry about, I need a change. You don't even feel I need a change. You always feel that the other person should change. Because of which, what happens? Both parties think that the other person should change. No one changes. But great devotees of the Lord can become friends of anybody. You see, there are people who are emotional and there are people who are rational. Emotional people are labeled as sentimentless, and rational people are labeled as hard-hearted. And this quarrel is going on from time immemorial. So neither is a rational person hard-hearted, nor is the emotional person sentimental. One has to have a balance of emotion and rationality. So we have, we need a combination of head and heart, both. Then we can be a person who can fulfill everyone's need. So great devotees of the Lord, they are not sentimentalists. They are always thoughtful, they are very wise. At the same time, they also have the heart in understanding that everyone is unique, creation of God, and we have to be flexible to accommodate all kinds of people in devotion service. A practical example is Narada Muni. when he meant Nagari. Now it is very easy to reject Nagari, saying that he is a sinner, he is a half killer of animals. He would have very easily rejected. But then he accommodated Nagari and he gave him Krishna consciousness and made him a great devotee. Similarly, Narada Muni, when he saw Kayadu being arrested by the demigods headed by Indra and being taken, Narada Muni stopped them and he told them that in the tomb of this mother there is a great Mahabhagavata devotee residing, Harad Maharaj. And all of them offered obeisances and circumambulated her. They went away. And Narada Muni very patiently educated her, although she wasn't hearing him very attentively. It is said he instructed Kayadu, but Kayadu wasn't very keen about this knowledge. But Narada Muni knew that in her womb there is Prahlad, and he will hear, and he will benefit from this. So he gave the education. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita 3.29. Krishna says, Krishna Vinna Vichalayet. Krishna Vinna Vichalayet. He says, Tana Krishna Vilo Mandan, Krishna Vinna Vichalayet. Those who are Mandan, Mandabuddhi Vale, those who have dull mind, you know, don't disturb them. Krishna says, just leave them. They are crazy. They don't want God, they just want sense gratification. They are running here and there, mad for sense enjoyment. You better drop them. But then devotee says, how can I drop them? Krishna, without your shelter, and these souls, where will they go? Please Krishna, permit me, let me give one more try. Krishna says, no, get rid of that person. No, one more try. Devotee says, last chance, let me give Jagai Marai one more try. And let me deliver that person. Who knows, maybe he will become your devotee. Krishna says, no, I know that person, he is a drunkard. He is just gliding down the animal species. Why do you want to pick him up? But a devotee is extra compassionate. He says, no. That's why Prabhupada writes that in the purport, devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord by the mercy of the Lord, because they know the purpose of the Lord, Prabhupada says. What is Krishna's purpose? To reclaim all the suffering souls. And devotees work for that mission of Krishna. That is why Krishna himself is completely taken aback when he sees the mercy of devotee. He wonders how this devotee has so much mercy. His heart is more broad-minded than mine. Krishna feels like that. That is why Krishna loves his devotee so much. Krishna loves his devotees very much. Tana Krishna Vidavamanda, Krishna Vinna Vichale. So Narada Muni delivered Nagari, Prabhupada delivered so many fallen people. Like that, we can give many examples like that. That is why a devotee of the Lord is considered to be the friend of everyone. That is why we can antagonize the Lord, but not his devotee. If you antagonize the Lord, you will be delivered by chanting the holy name. But if you antagonize his devotee, there is no hope for us, even in millions of lifetimes. Because there cannot be anybody more merciful than a Lord's devotee. Lord's devotee is the most compassionate. So in this way, he becomes the friend of all the fallen souls. Sri Guru Garuna Sindhu, Adhamma Janara Bandhu. He is not only the friend of the intellectuals, he is the friend of everyone. He is the friend of even the most fallen, Adhamma Janara Bandhu. So, in this way, a devotee becomes friend of everyone. There is a verse in the 12th chapter, I think, when he talks about the qualities of the devotee, Krishna telling, Bhutanam Maitra Karna Yevacha Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karna Yevacha Nirmama Nirahankara Samadukka Sukachami. There it says, Krishna says that Bhutanam, Sarva Bhutanam Maitra, friend of everyone. So when one becomes a devotee, one gets this quality of gradually befriending everyone. So now we can ask, how many people are my friends? If you see, even on devotional circle, we have many enemies. Isn't it? What is because of befriending Adhamma Janar? We have problem with even devotees. First we have to clear the track here itself. Learning to make friendship with devotees. Then we can learn to make friendship with Nagaris and Jagais and Madais and other people also. So we have to work on that. So we can understand this quality, we have not yet attained, we have to attain this quality of listening, everyone. So we have to find out what is the deficiency in me due to which I am not able to become a good friend of that person whom I consider to be my enemy. Actually, that person is not my enemy, but I consider him to be my enemy because of my own deficiencies. So I have to work on my deficiencies. You see, a practical example is of Duryodhana and Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira was called as Ajatashatru, friend of everyone. There is no enemy for Yudhishthira. Even he considered Duryodhana to be his friend. These days people ask, you know, if he made friendship with everyone, then they cheat us. What to do? So Yudhishthira was never cheated. We think Yudhishthira was cheated, but ultimately he was ruling the whole world. So one is a sincere friend and tries to administer good to others in the right way, then one will never be cheated. So Yudhishthira wanted to help Duryodhana even when Duryodhana came to the forest to make fun of the Pandavas and he was captured by the Gandharvas. So Yudhishthira helped him even that time. This goes to show the Ajatashatru quality of Yudhishthira. Very, very great quality. So this is the third aspect of a devotee who has achieved success. And fourthly, Krishna says, idam viditva. Prabhupada writes that in the purport also. Vedeshu yajneshu tapasya chaiva daneshu yatpunya phalam pradishtam atyeti, he says. A devotee surpasses everything. A devotee surpasses everything. So what is verse this? Krishna bhakti kaiva sarva karma krita hai. What is the verse? Shraddha shabde vishyasata hai sudrida nashchai Krishna bhakti kaila sarva karma krita hai. One who has developed firm faith in Krishna, he has surpassed everything. He doesn't have to do anything. He has already surpassed everything. He doesn't have to do yajna, dana, tapa, veda pathan, nothing. He simply has to keep on remembering Krishna. He has already surpassed everything. There was a Prabhupada tells the example of a great Bengali Babu, great Jamindar, who once, when he grew old, he renounced everything on the world. He was a very rich man. He renounced everything and he would even go to the houses of enemies to beg alms. Can you imagine somebody going to the house of enemies and begging alms? So he knew very well that he would be humiliated, but he did the sannyas dharma when he took sannyas. So a devotee of the Lord has so much faith in the Lord that Lord will do everything. Everything in the life will be accomplished. I don't have to worry. Complete dependence on Krishna. So this is also one of the special prerogatives a devotee achieves when he advances in spiritual life. Generally, many times we hold on to our own things when we want to accomplish something rather than depending on the Lord. So the dependence of the Lord will come based on how much faith one has developed in Krishna. Then only one can learn to depend on the Lord. One passing comes to my mind from Krishna Leela. Recently we had Krishna Leela in our temple, very wonderful. We had Damodar pastime, very wonderful. Also the first day, 30th, I don't know whether all of you were present. Nominees were present on 30th, first program. And you all saw the dance and drum. So they put up very nice shows. It was very nice, very impressive. So they were showing how Krishna steals butter when Mother Yashoda is away, isn't it? And how everything is spilled over and Yashoda comes back and Krishna tries to help her and Yashoda just rejects him. And Krishna is coming and hugging her around the neck. Yashoda keeps on rejecting Krishna. And Krishna becomes angry. He says, I won't go to the forest. You see, every day I am taking the ropes and the stick to go to the forest. I am doing work, I am coming in the evening, and they are blaming me like this. Tomorrow night they won't go. And she takes it and keeps it in the loft. Okay, you don't have to go. You don't have to go. So she becomes so angry. Anyway, Krishna's pastimes are very wonderful. Vrindavan. Simply remembering these pastimes, we can go back to Godhead. So when Krishna goes out for herding the cows, herding cows is only an excuse for Krishna so that he can play with his friends, varieties of games. So Krishna was playing one day with all his friends And he divided the group into three. He made them into, one group was sheep, other group was policemen and thieves, and the other group was policemen. So the thieves would steal the sheep and the policemen would catch the thieves. That was the understanding. So they were playing this game, but there was one demon called the Vyomasura who had entered into the group of covered boys. And he appeared exactly like a covered boy. Because that day one covered boy hadn't come. So he put up dressed like him. He looked exactly like a beautiful covered boy. You see, the greatest impediment in spiritual life is to put trust in our enemy, which is Maya. So if a devotee puts trust in Maya, it's only a matter of time he or she will be cheated very soon. Similarly, the covered boys never knew that this is our enemy. This is a demon. So they all thought this is our friend. This is our covered boy. They were thinking like that. In this day and age, Maya comes in so many different types of forms. And we may not even be able to detect it. Just like computer. Internet is such a wonderful facility. You can get so many nice things. Sometimes you can read Krishna conscious material on internet. Sometimes you can send emails to your friends. So very convenient. But then you open the internet, so many nasty advertisements come and they occupy a portion of your brain. Immediately when you see those pictures, nasty pictures, immediately the bad impressions are stored in the head and very difficult to wipe them out. And they even put some sexual slogans which once enters your head you can't get them out. It's very, very difficult. So it appears to be a good friend, but actually it is Putana or it is deadly enemy. Putana comes like a very beautiful looking goddess of fortune. But then what does she feed?
Poison.
So there are many agents of Maya in Kali Yuga who come in a very beautiful form. But they will kill our Krishna consciousness. So devotees have to be very careful. So we have to know to what extent we can use Maya in Krishna service. See, we may not be very intelligent in using Maya in Krishna service. Going to our own foolishness which you accumulated from so many past lives. Till you become completely wise, we should not dare to engage Maya in Krishna service. One has to be careful. Dayati gave his hand to Devayani. Gave his hand, come, I'll lift you out of the, deep well. But then when he lifted her, afterwards he got a desire to marry her. She was actually a Brahmani. And he came from a Kshatriya family. But he got a desire to marry her as soon as he touched her. So, it is explained that similarly, when we touch Maya to engage in Krishna service, sometimes Maya will engulf us and make us a prey. And we may lose good sense and we may be more involved in Maya than in Krishna consciousness. And we may be imagining that I am Krishna conscious. So, one has to be very careful. So, Maya comes in various forms. It can even come as a relative. Like a relative, sometimes you feel that they are ultimately doing good for you. Mother and father, or uncle and aunt, or your grandfather, grandmother, they tell you that, don't become too serious in spiritual life. Why are you becoming so serious? You see, little bit of God consciousness is all right. In the morning, little bit of puja and all. See, I'm telling for your welfare. You have to become educated, you have to do job, this is the age to earn money, develop yourself nicely, and you become 50, 60, what are you going to do after that? Just give all time to God. And appears to be very meaningful, making a lot of sense. But this is also like this Yamasura. See, Yamasura represents the mind. So, our mind gives various foolish suggestions to take us away from Krishna. So the covered boy came into the group of other covered boys simply to take them away from Krishna. That was the whole idea. So, one should neither hear one's mind nor hear the suggestions of fools. See, this world is called as a fool's paradise. In a fool's paradise, an intelligent person will be considered a fool. That's the problem. And a fool should be considered intelligent. That's the problem. So a devotee has to safeguard his Krishna consciousness, especially in this day and age. So many types of horrible magazines, so many advertisements, so many movies, and people and friends who are always talking about money and such like, they don't know anything beyond that. And all of us are bombarded with such people. Every day they say, right from morning to evening. And we have to live in the midst of that world. So it's a great challenge. Like, you know, if a Pakistani soldier comes to India, he has to be very careful. Because if a Pakistani spy is caught, you know what kind of punishment he will be given. Like in South, there is this LGT, you know LGT? They always carry a capsule of cyanide here. So as soon as they are caught by the enemy, immediately they take that capsule. Immediately they die. Similarly, if a Krishna conscious devotee's Mahamantra is a capsule. As soon as your Maya attacks you and you are caught in between Maya, immediately chant Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So materially you will die. And spiritually you will be enlivened. So when we are in Maya's kingdom, we have to be extra cautious. Even spies are very careful. You have seen how spies act. Nobody can detect them. They are extremely cautious. So, a devotee should also be extremely cautious while moving about in this material world, understanding well who are all my enemies. Who will tell you that these people are your enemies? Only the spiritual master or representative of spiritual master can tell us that these are your enemies. Beware. But the whole world will tell you that these are your friends. These are all your friends. And friends appear to be friends when you come closer, you understand how it is Maya, how you were cheated. So every one of us can think in our own heart, what are the agents of Maya by which I am allured? Don't think that it is the same for everyone. For everyone it is different. According to your age, according to your sex, according to your maturity, Maya comes in different forms. So we may be considering Maya to be our friend and we can be cheated. So later this Vyomasa, he took the covered boys and he started putting them in the cave, one by one. And he sealed the cave. And the covered boys inside the cave were all crying, all the covered boys, because it was pitch dark inside. The cave is compared to the material world. So our own devilish mind has brought us to this material world. Because mind only teaches us how to become independent of Krishna, how to turn our face away from Krishna. So now, when they were put in a cave and sealed, they didn't know, they could not see one another. They could not see where they are and how to get out. Just imagine, if you are put in a cave and a huge boulder is kept on the mouth of the cave, sealed, how can you push it? You know, if a big elephant is standing in the front, how can an ant push him? You just can't push the cave. You can't get out of the material world ourselves. It's an impossibility. There is no way out. And the material world is signified by its darkness or ignorance. So that ignorance is the bodily consciousness. The darkness represents bodily consciousness. Where we completely forget Krishna. Having forgotten Krishna, everyone is running here and there thinking how to squeeze out some enjoyment in this world. So it's very easy to forget Krishna in this world because this world is designed to forget Krishna. Somebody is asking, why are you not able to remember Krishna? Because this world is designed to forget Krishna. That is the answer. Because we wanted to forget Him, so we are given a world where we can easily forget Krishna. So the facility is given to us. Okay, you forget Krishna and imagine you are Krishna and you are the enjoyer and go ahead. So it's pitch dark. And darkness immediately brings forth fear, shoka, moha, bhaya, all three come together. Lamentation about the past, and illusion about the present and fear of the future. All the three come together. And the humanity is shivering always. Just like, you know, when power goes off, all children start crying. You have seen that? Isn't it? Because darkness brings fear. Similarly, ignorance also brings fear. Ignorance brings illusion. Ignorance brings lamentation. And everyone in this world is torn apart, not knowing what is the solution. So Krishna consciousness is the solution. One has to get out of this world. Already the mind has drawn us into the world. As I said, Marayava Manishanam Kaanam Bandha Mokshaya. So mind is the cause of our arrest in the material world. And the very saying, mind can only help us to be delivered from that material world. That means Krishna has to give a treatment to this Yamasura. When Krishna saw that Yamasura is taking One by one, all the covered boys, he put them in the cave and plugging them. Then Krishna observed this. Then with his fist, he gave him a heavy pounding on his back. Then when Krishna killed him, then he removed the stone of the cave. All the covered boys came running out of the cave, and again they met Krishna. Similarly, we can come out of this material world and enter into the spiritual world again to gain the association of Krishna. Then we don't hear the mind and reject the mind. Why we are talking this pastime today? You see, a devotee is given such a special facility to surpass Veda, Yajna, Dana, Tapa, everything. What is so special about a devotee? That he doesn't have to do all these things. You see, the son of a prime minister or prime minister's relative is given many special facilities. He can enter into prime minister's office, or he can go to any shop in the market and he can pick up any item he wants. Is there any shopkeeper who will demand money from him? The prime minister's son comes here and he just picks up something from the shop. And there's a limited gift. Sir, tell me what you want. You want a suitcase? You want this, that, anything they will give him immediately. But he's son of a prime minister. Similarly, a devotee is told, you don't have to do yajna, you don't have to do dana, tapa, nothing. You have surpassed all these things. So what is so special about a devotee? The speciality is that a devotee has given up mental concoction and given his free will to Krishna. When Krishna opens the plunge of the cave, opens the stone at the door of the cave, then we will no more try after that. So, everyone is giving something to Krishna, something to God. Like I was telling in one of the previous classes, somebody comes to a temple, he may be earning lakhs of rupees, but then he may just take out his purse and put 50 paisa. So he's giving up his proprietorship to some extent. He's saying, Krishna, so much money is mine and 50 paisa I am giving you, that is yours. At least I agree that you are 50% proprietor among the money what I have with me. Somebody else comes more often and then I give more money, and somebody may start understanding that Krishna is God, they may start chanting Krishna's name, so they are also giving some time to Krishna. And somebody comes even more, then they may engage more and more by giving up their proprietorship. In Vedic life, one is taught that Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the proprietor. So gradually we have to hand over charge back to Krishna. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means understanding everything is possessed by Krishna and I have grabbed it from him. Now I have to give all my charge back to Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. You see, when Lord Ramachandra was about to make the Setu Bandha, so 3 days he waited in front of the ocean and he performed some penance, some austerities there, waiting that the Samudra Raj will come. And you know, Samudra Raj is in charge of this particular department, the ocean department. So after telling him, I will make the Setu Bandha, that is, one of our company comes. He has no reason that he has to go to a particular department head and take permission from him to meet a subordinate in the department and ask something, isn't it? He has full right to do anything he wants. But still, out of courtesy sake, he may go to the department head and tell him, okay, you tell me, bring all your employees in the department, I would like to have a talk with them. So one of them may take permission like that. Similarly, Ram also was waiting for Samudra Raj 3 days. And he performed some puja and all. And the 3 days Samudra Raj never cared for the Lord, because he was very busy in his affairs. Similarly, everyone in this world is busy, busy, busy. No time for God. So when third day he didn't come, Lord Ram became angry. His eyes became reddish. And when he looked towards the ocean, the whole ocean started boiling. And all the aquatics started coming to surface. Their bodies were burning. Then Samudra Raj came running and he fell at the feet of Ram and said, oh Lord, you are the controller, you are the proprietor, you are the enjoyer, you are the supreme. Everything is controlled by you, managed by you. Ultimately, there is no one beyond you and I am your insignificant servant. He was rolling on the ground begging for forgiveness. In the same way, Lord Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajyama Ekam Sharanam Vraja. You see, my dear living entity, my dear soul, everything belongs to me. You just give back your charge to me and I will take care of your life. You make me the Lord of your life and your life will be glorious. You give all the charge back to me and accept me as your master. Then your life will be glorious. But we are like Samgar Raj. No, very busy. No time. Actually, Lord has no reason to request us. He can order us and He can challenge us. He can strip everything away from us if He wishes. But He doesn't do that. What He says? Okay, you yourself surrender. I don't want to snatch it. Why? Because snatching is not love. So if love has to be there, you should voluntarily surrender for your own good. So He says, you surrender to me. But then, when we become preoccupied with various materialistic activities of the world and we ignore the Lord, then the Lord says, Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham, He says, I will come in the form of death and I will snatch away everything from you. That time people will be beating on their chest and stomach and crying, oh, I accumulated so much, now everything is taken away. You see, you cannot play with God. If Krishna wants to give you with 1,000 hands, you have 2 hands, how can you receive? That is why great devotees, I was telling about Tirupananda, and Lord gave him mercy, he was crying. Because we don't have ability to receive the mercy God gives, God gives abundant mercy. Similarly, if Krishna wants to strip everything away from you, we cannot protect ourselves by putting in life insurance or Swiss bank or anywhere. Everything will be stripped off. He can take away everything and he'll make us a beggar if he wants to do so. So, the goal of life is to gradually give all the charge back to Krishna in terms of money, in terms of time, in terms of our energies of the karmendriyas and jnanendriyas, everything give back to Krishna and then accept Him as the life and soul of our lives. That is actually the ultimate goal of life. So we know the ultimate ideal standard, which is the most difficult for us to do. So we are all doing little, okay, little bit money I will give, little bit time I will give. So some time for sense gratification and some time for Krishna. Some money for the sense gratification, some money for Krishna consciousness like that. And some energy for my own enjoyment and some energy for Krishna. So to different extents we surrender. So the Vedic life teaches one how to gradually do it. You don't have to do it all at once. Not can you do it, even if you are told to do so. If somebody tells you, okay, Sarvadhaman Parityajya, give up everything, come to Krishna, can you do that? You can't. That is why in the very part, first is Yajna they do. In Yajna what they do? Indraya Swaha, they offer it to Indra. They offer the grains, offer the silk and ghee and everything. Idam namama, this is not mine. I am not the proprietor. First they give to the demigods. And then gradually, after giving to various demigods and glorifying Vishnu, then gradually they become jnanis after that. Rather they become detached. In jnani stage one knows that these things are not mine, but they don't know to whom it belongs to. And then when they advance to become bhakta, then they start giving things to Krishna like that, more and more. And amongst all the things that we can give Krishna, the topmost thing a devotee offers to Krishna is his own free will. Offering one's free will to Krishna, which is the price that one has to pay to get all the benefits which are said in this verse. Veveshu yajneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva. One surpasses everything by handing over charge to Krishna completely. Krishna, you are the master of my life. I am offering my free will to you. And you do whatever you want with me. Anybody knows this verse? Tasmat pungutishta yasho labhasva. In that very nice word, it begins like this. Tasmat pungutishta yasho labhasva. Hey, my dear Arjun, wake up and you achieve all glory in your life. How? Why? Nirikta matram bhavata desaje. Simply by becoming an instrument in my hands. Because Mayaiva yete vihitan, what is it? Mayaiva vihita ayava purva, I guess. All these soldiers in the battles of Kurukshetra have already killed all of them long before. Don't think you are killing them. You are only an instrument in my hands. I have already killed all of them. But by becoming an instrument in my hands, then you will achieve glory. It's just like a, you know, carpenter or like a fitter saying that, oh, screwdriver, just become an instrument in my hands. It's a very huge machine. But all you need to do is just allow me to use you to turn this particular screw and tighten it. Because tightening the screw is a part of the process of assembling that machine. So you also become a part in that. The screw says, no, I am very proud, I have my freedom. I will not allow you. When you bring the screwdriver says, you know, why should I do this? Or I am doing myself. I am the one who is turning around. You know? Screwdriver thinks like that. It's foolish. You know? Because the carpenter is using him, or the mechanic is using him. Similarly, we should allow Krishna to use us in his service. For the ultimate desire, mission that he has in delivering the suffering souls back to the spiritual world. So Krishna has already a great mission, and he wants to engage all his devotees in that mission of reclaiming all the suffering souls and taking them back to Godhead. So we have to just allow Krishna to use us, giving our freedom. If you see, the other people like jnanis and yogis and karmakandis, they don't allow Krishna to use them. It can be easily shown. Like jnanis, for example, they don't accept the shastras per se. They reject the shastras and they speculate with their mind to understand what God is all about. They say, like I heard when I went to IIT again in Kharagpur, one boy came and told me, he was trying to preach to me. He was telling me that Ramayana, one person has some, Narlikar or somebody has written 8-volume edition of Ramayana. Sir, in that book, he has clearly shown how to understand the so-called superhuman activities of Ram to be normal activities of a human being. So there is nothing special about it. So try to understand that he didn't do anything great. So in that book he has given justification of how Ram's activities are all mundane and normal. So please kindly read that book and don't harbor any imaginations about Ram, he told me. Suppose I didn't want to argue further with him, but I considered it useless. Because Lord's activities are supramundane, like lifting the rovers and hills, or dancing with 16,000 gopis, or living in every house, 16,000 houses, or Lord has done many such things like that. And these people, jnanis, they just can't accept Lord's superhuman activities. And they try to boil it down to some mundane activities. Like they say, you see this Kurukshetra, you know, it actually the war didn't happen. The Kurukshetra is like a field, our body, and the Pandavas are like 5 senses. They try to concoct something of their own to ultimately say that Lord is not so great. Lord is like you and me only. He is just a historical figure who lived some 5,000 years ago. Of course he was a great politician and all, he was talented. He was a little yogi also, you know. He's a great yogi, more than you and me. But you know, he is also a normal human being. Don't say he is God. So this kind of envious attitude they have. So they use their rubbish mind to concoct about the Lord. So because of which, they fall down repeatedly, again and again. They cannot achieve perfection. Similarly, yogis, although the yogis may perform severe penances, they have their own hidden agenda. What is it? They want to achieve some siddhis. They want to go to Siddhaloka, achieve some siddhis and display those siddhis to attract the masters, to have innumerable followers, to fly in the sky, to walk on water, to do miraculous things. Prabhupada says many of these siddhis are actually now made possible by even scientists. Like, you know, the Siddha can penetrate a stone and come on the other side. Now scientists can also penetrate stone now. They have found out ways to penetrate stone. Like once a scientist said, we can fly in the sky and can dive in, we can fly in the sky like a bird, and we can dive in the water like a fish. How great is our science? Another man said, only problem is you cannot walk on land like a human being because of so much pollution.
That's the problem.
So these things appear very great, but Prabhupada was never impressed with all these things. So the siddha gets caught up in these things without achieving the ultimate perfection. But a devotee is the most intelligent being in the whole creation, because he knows nothing can move without the will of Krishna. And why should I have my own independent program in this world? Better leave it to Krishna. Let Krishna do it. That is why you never hear in Vrindavan some coward boy displaying his powers to kill some demons.
You always see that whenever there is trouble, what they do? Immediately call for Krishna. So when these covered boys were put in the cave and the cave was sealed, immediately all the covered boys called Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
In this way they called Krishna's name, so Krishna heard it. Oh, where are my devotees calling my name? Similarly, by calling Krishna's names regularly every day and by developing a proper inner attitude, helpless attitude in calling Krishna, very soon we can feel spiritual consciousness within, even while being in this world. In fact, our boys, when they call Krishna's names, they started losing fear of the darkness and they had complete confidence that Krishna is going to come and he will deliver us. Similarly, even while being in this world, although we are living in the kingdom of Maya, we will not have to fear Maya. Or we will not become afflicted by Maya if we are calling Krishna's names fervently in a devotional mode. In this way, a devotee should give his independent mentality, offer it to Krishna and allow Krishna to orchestrate him. That is the last verse of Shikshashtakam.
Ashlishava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva విదలాతులం పటు మత్ప్రాణనాథస్తు
సయేవనాపరీ కంప్లీట్లీ గివ్స్ హిస్ ఇండిపెండెన్స్ టు కృష్ణ. నౌ హౌ కెన్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ ప్రాక్టికలీ అప్లై ఇట్ ఇన్ అవర్ ఎవ్రీడే లైఫ్? హౌ కెన్ యూ గివ్ అవర్ ఇండిపెండెన్స్ టు కృష్ణ కంప్లీట్లీ? ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఈజీ. యు సీ, బ్రహ్మ గాట్ ద నాలెడ్జ్ ఫ్రమ్ కృష్ణ డైరెక్ట్లీ అండ్ బ్రహ్మ వాస్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ డార్క్నెస్ in the dawn of creation. Brahmaji could not see anything, pitch dark. But then Brahma was enlightened when Krishna gave him the wisdom. And Brahma gave it to Narada, Narada gave it to Vyasa. So it's coming down the line in disciple succession. Now, the spiritual master is giving knowledge to his disciples. So one should become submissive to the spiritual master or those whom spiritual master has entrusted as authorities, like the counselors or other authorities under whom one is taking guidance. Because spiritual master is pleased when he sees that his disciple is properly engaged. So when one follows authorities, simply follows authorities. You just do what you are told to do. Give up your independence. Don't have an independent agenda. Like, you know, you are told to do one thing and you do another thing. Like once I told a devotee to xerox some sheets. I told him, now there is a meeting, you know, bring it before 7 o'clock. I found him was playing harmonium elsewhere. So he gave this, he pushed his service to somebody else and he was playing harmonium elsewhere. This is the meaning of independent mentality. So every one of us, if we look into our own hearts, we have this independent attitude to some degree or other. We all want to do something of our own without hearing from the authorities. So if one wants to quickly advance in spiritual life, then one should surrender to the authorities and ask them, please tell me, how can I please you? How can I advance in my spiritual life? Then hear the instruction attentively. Some people even make notes of instructions and then try to apply it in life. To the degree to which you stick to the instructions nicely, to that degree you will make swift progress in spiritual life. Very fast. You will see that one who gives up his own independence and surrenders to the spiritual authority, he becomes so much he or she becomes so much protected, loved and cared by the body of Vaishnava. See, in the material world, to give up independence is considered a shame. Because the more you show that you are independent and are outspoken, then you are considered very great, isn't it? In the material world. In companies, when they assess you, they see how independent you are. See, they check whether you have a lion attitude or an ant attitude. Ant attitude means you go with all the ants. That means you are a team worker. You can work and achieve. Lion attitude means you just go, rush yourself in front of everyone and then beat the animal down and eat whatever you want and throw the rest of it for the other animal. That is a leader. Leader means go and do something which nobody can do. Every time, everything you put your step, everything, that is a new step. That means you pave road for others. That's a leader. So we look for people like that. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, one has to have a combination of both. That's why Bhaktivinoda said, one has to be a Trinadapi lion. He said, Trinadapi lion means You had to have a... One has to be like a lion. Prabhupada said, lion on the chase and lamb at home. So, when Prabhupada preached, he would preach very forcefully when he would go out. But when he would come back to the society of devotees, he would become like a lamb, very humble in the society of Vaishnava Sangha. So, even when one acts like a lion, one should always be guided by superiors. If one acts whimsically, that will never please any Vaishnava. Whimsical attitude will only bring trouble to you and trouble to others. Whimsical attitude is nuisance. It's only a nuisance value, nothing more. It can create havoc in the society of Vaishnavas. So, the devotee understands that this independent mentality, sometimes counselors can speak on this topic, very interesting topic, isn't it? So we can learn more about this independent mentality, what it is and how it happens with examples, and we can put up some skills also. Understand it, because it's a very big problem in advancement. If one can just get rid of this one habit, then one can advance very fastly. Here Krishna says that my devotees have given the fever to me, and that's why they don't have to do anything. I do everything for them. I do for them everything. Just like we have told the example earlier of a pet dog of a master. That pet dog, you know, he may go and get the newspaper in the morning, isn't it? He may just be serving the master. Whatever the master says, go and get this, go and get that, he will just do that service. And in return, the master takes so much good care. Gives him costly biscuits, he pats him on his back, keeps him on the same sofa, everything. But a dog who wants to be independent, he becomes a stray dog and a street dog. Becomes both. He becomes a stray street dog. And he is thinking, I am independent. Just do it. No problem. Anything you want. Who cares? I can do anything I want in life. So we, such people literally become like street dogs. Why? Street dog is being stoned by boys who are playing there, isn't it? He's being stoned. The municipality van comes and catches him. They take him to be killed. So when the Maya van comes, who are all people who don't have Katimala? Who are all people who don't have license? Who have not surrendered to Krishna, why is out on the chase. And she comes and catches those who want to be independent of the Lord, have an independent program of their own. So, if you see the world, 99.9% of the people are independent people. That is why Maya has already captured them and taken them in the van and punishing them, killing their Krishna consciousness. Very unfortunate. So, we should deliver ourselves and deliver others who are being carried away with Maya. By properly taking shelter ourselves. Some devotees will find they are very happily situated because they simply follow the authority. One has to be very loyal to your great Vaishnava by surrendering the Tadvidhi Pranipatena, he says, Pariprashtena Sevaya, Upadikshan Tejnana Jnana Satudarshan. Life becomes so easy. And one acts independently and one invites trouble in one's life. So here, but Krishna is concluding this chapter by saying that one can surpass Vedeshu, Yajneshu, Tapasu, Daneshu, everything, because my devotee surrenders to me. Yogi Paramsthanam Upaitu Chadyam. See, one more verse, previous verse Prabhupada quotes there. Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhavarjuna. Therefore, my dear Arjuna, my devotees never worry about these timings which are given for a yogi. Uttarayan, Dakshinayan, Dharkar, light and everything. And they just surrender to me. Tasmat, what do you do? Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto. Always 24 hours engage in my service, Bhavarjuna. By doing this and by giving up your independent mentality and by obeying my instructions, then you can achieve perfection. So, Krishna has given many instructions in the scriptures. Like you should worship Tulasi, you should whatever you cook, you should offer bhoga to me, and then only you should eat that as a prasadam, and you should chant my holy name, you should become my bhakta, you should bow down to me, offer obeisances. Actually, those who are independent minded are demoniac, they always ask questions diametrically opposite to this. Krishna says, you worship me. They ask, worship the deity, whether God is there or not. God is everywhere. Why do you worship him in the temple? Exactly opposite. You know, like I was telling in one class, no? Lord is saying, you worship Tulasi. Somebody is saying, why do you worship Tulasi? In Tulasi there is no fruit you get. Better worship the jet plant, where you can get some sabji and you can cook it. What is the worshiping Tulasi? So this shows the blindness of the person, independent mentality. So one has to hear from the Lord. You can't hear from the Lord directly actually, because you can't understand him. You have to hear from the great devotees who have attentively heard the Lord's instructions and practiced in their life and purified, so that they will be able to give the same to others. So many wonderful acharyas are down the line have given purpose. By reading them and by applying them in our life, we can achieve all perfection without having to undergo this yajna, dana, tapa, the yoga, the dhyana and all these things. Simply by this path of bhakti, chanting Hare Krishna, eating prasada and obeying the instructions of superiors, one can go back home, back to God. Hare Krishna.
They don't consider.
Actually, jnanis are impersonalists. Jnanis are impersonalists who think that the ultimate truth is impersonal. They do not know that beyond the impersonal Brahman, there is a personality of Godhead. Beyond energy, there is energetic. Beyond energy, there is energetic. Beyond every energy, there is energetic. You know, Giriraj Swami Maharaj, first time when he came to the movement, he met one Malati Mataji. She was distributing prasadam and preaching. So he came to her and he was holding a notion that the absolute truth is impersonal. So he came and told her, he was asking about this jnana marga. And she said, no, God is Krishna. Krishna is a person. And he said, you know, why are you limiting God by, you know, having a personal form? God must be, you know, unlimited energy. Then she gave a simple example. She told him, in a cinema theatre, you know, the illusion, moving illusion that you see on the screen, and that, if you see, how does it come? It comes from a projector. Projector projects it. The projector has an impersonal light. But behind the impersonal light, there is a mechanism, machine. And that machine is operated by the operator, the man. So then she says that the impersonal government is operated by a prime minister, who is a person. Similarly, behind the impersonal Brahman, there is an energetic person whose body is not made up of flesh and bones, but whose body is Sachidananda, Swarupa. So jnanis do not know that. Jnanis think the ultimate truth is just impersonal energy. But energetic is superior to energy. Like sun is energetic, sunlight is energy. So without the sun, how can there be sunlight? Oh, they read Upanishads, they read Vedanta, and they argue. Their main process is mental speculation. Mental speculation. Tarka vitarka. Yeah, they say scripture is like a stepping stone for them. They just use scripture sometimes. And other times they think the realization has to come oneself from within. So it is true, you take the scriptures and then you will get deep realization later. But then what they do, see, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatrika Vidhan Vina, Aikantika Harir Bhakti, Atvatayat. That's what happens with them. So they reject the scriptures and ultimately it creates Udpadana.
All jnanis may not be mayavadi.
No, impersonalists are not mayavadi, all impersonalists. Those impersonalists who declare Krishna's body to be made of maya, like our body, they are called mayavadi. Before he came here, we were talking about emotional and rational, we were talking about that. See, Krishna consciousness does not propagate blind faith. Blind faith and absurd questions, both are condemned. Having a blind faith in what is here, without understanding what it is all about, and to ask absurd questions, which make no sense, with the idea of just escaping from their instruction. Both are considered bad. So rationality certainly has a value in spiritual life. We have the right to ask questions. Like somebody tells you to do something, you have the right to ask, why is one supposed to do that? But then when one gradually develops faith in the authority over a period of time, one will be able to see that, like for example, mother and child. Child never asks the mother, "Mother, now why do you say, I have to do this?" If you see, children, that's why following the parents, children achieve ultimate perfection, if you see like that. This is a simple crude example I am giving you. Similarly, as one grows in spiritual life, you see, Krishna first gave some knowledge to Arjuna. But in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna saw that Arjuna is not in a position to hear. Arjuna actually was instructing Krishna in the beginning. He was saying, "Okay, Krishna, you take the chariot in the middle of both armies, I would like to see who are all present." He said. And then Arjuna told Krishna, "Please understand, I am not going to fight." Why? What happened? See, these are the five reasons why I will not fight. Because these are my relatives and friends, and if we kill, killing is sin, I will not do that. And then there are many brothers and uncle and grandfather, all these people are there. And then if all these people are killed, then there will be Varna Sankara, unwanted bhajan will be created and everything. So five reasons he gave. But then Arjuna realized, "My dear Krishna, even after giving all the reasons, still my frustration is not gone." So Krishna was smiling at him. "Sahasranniva Bharata," he said. So Arjuna was surprised, although I have given valid reasons to my argument, still I am not satisfied. Similarly, there are people who are atheistic. They come to our classes sometimes and they argue there is no God. And even after giving all arguments, still their mind is not at peace. Internally, they have won the battle but lost the war, They have defeated, they think that now we have given such arguments. But then internally they know that there is certainly some superior power that is guiding the universe. There has to be some super power. Otherwise how things are happening. So Arjuna was in that condition. And then Krishna didn't speak till that time. He was just keeping silent. And then Arjuna fell at his feet and told him, "Krishna, I am surrendering to you. You are my master, I am your shishya. You please guide me." And even then Krishna told him, "Vedavyas is there, why don't you go to Vyas? You go and hear from Vyas." But then Arjuna told, "No, neither Vyas nor other sages, none of the people of this world can satisfy me except you. Please kindly, you give me your shelter." "Now Krishna, I agree, whatever you say I will do now," he said. Then he surrendered, and then Krishna gave him the whole wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. Where Arjuna asks many questions. It's not that then Arjuna became mum and he heard everything Krishna said. Arjuna is asking 12th chapter, first verse. Krishna, some people are worshipping impersonal God, some are worshipping personal God. Which is superior? Out of the two parts, and Krishna says, worshipping me as a person is superior. So we have the right to ask questions. But then we should ask questions with the desire to apply it in our practice. It's very important. We should not ask questions and flip up challenging. And once the answer is told to you, "Okay, now tata, I'm going my way. I will do the same thing again." Then it doesn't make any sense. Some people, even after falling on the ground, their mush is full of mud. They will say, "There is no mud on my mush." They will say like that. You defeat them completely. They will not agree at all. And they will not practice anything that they learn. Their goal is, like some people just barge into a class and they just, I have seen in colleges, they ask some questions on quantum mechanics. They ask about Big Bang Theory and everything. And then after they get the answers, that will be the first and last class for them. So that should not be the mood of a disciple. That should not be the mood of a disciple is that I am asking questions because I want to learn, understand it, apply it in my life, and I want to make progress. Like that. Such questions are subtly entertained. Because spiritual life is not blindness. We don't follow anything blindly. And here all the people who come here, at the end of the class, we have a question answer. Like I allowed your question now. That's allowed certainly. It's not that now I have spoken everything, chup-chap, all of you agree and you go back home. And you follow. Actually, when Prabhupada was preaching abroad, Srila Prabhupada, so he would say, "Any questions?" Then another Swami from another organization has come. He was saying, "My Lord, any questions? How can you ask like that?" Because when you say any questions, the Vedas are like an ocean. People can ask you any question from anywhere. How is this Swamiji asking any questions? I was surprised. But that any question that Prabhupada started is even now following in Parampara now. After the time, we ask any questions. Because spiritual life is so wonderful, there is not a single question that is unanswered. Every single question has an answer.
ఏది ఒకటిన ప్రాంతమంది
హీ ఈజ్ ఆస్కింగ్ ఐఎమ్ ఎ స్టూడెంట్ హౌ క్యాన్ బీ ఇన్కార్పొరేట్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ టు అవర్ స్టడీంగ్ ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ యూ షుడ్ డూ ఇస్ ప్యారలలీ యూ షుడ్ కల్టివేట్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్ విజ్డమ్ లైక్ యూర్ కమింగ్ టు క్లాసెస్ యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ద బాడీ అండ్ ద సోల్ అండ్ బికాస్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ద బాడీ అండ్ ద సోల్ దెర్ విల్ బి ఎ డెత్ ఫర్ దిస్ బాడీ ఆఫ్టర్ విచ్ ఐ విల్ స్టిల్ సర్వైవ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ ఐ విల్ గో టు ద నెక్స్ట్ బాడీ సో ఐ షుడ్ డూ యాక్టివిటీస్ విచ్ విల్ అల్టిమేట్లీ లీడ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రాక్టీస్ స్పిరిచువల్ వర్క్ సో యూ క్యాన్ ఇఫ్ పాసిబుల్ వన్ క్యాన్ ఆఫర్ భోగ అండ్ అక్సెప్ట్ ప్రసాదం and one can chant Hare Krishna every day, some 600 number of songs, one can read Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's books, one can read, and parallelly cultivate spiritual knowledge along with your material knowledge. And then if you get a very good score, study very well, and if you get a good score, you give the credit to God. Like it is said, you know, do your best and leave the rest to God. Generally, worldly people, if they get a good result, they raise their collars. If they get a bad result, they blame Ganapati. I broke coconut and he gave me a bad result. So we should do the opposite. If good result comes, you glorify God. It's all God's mercy. If bad result comes, you tell them that I didn't do so well, I didn't work so hard. Like that. So this is the way we can give our fruits to God. And then later on when you take up a job, then one can give a portion of one's earning for propagating Krishna consciousness. Like somebody sponsors prasadam here, or somebody sponsors publishing books and activities like that. So one can give a part of one's earning fruits to Krishna like that. And one can give one's time to read about Krishna and preach to others. And one can give one's energy by doing service. When you come to temple, you can pack vegetables, you can clean the floor, you can do some menial services, not considering one's big position in society. One can do some menial services. Like that, many things could be done. You can read 11.55, Prabhupada explains in that. 11 chapter 55th verse. If you read that, Mat karma krit mat paramo, mat bhakta sangha varjita. Very nice version for Prabhupada. So if you read that, Prabhupada explains how we can practically engage in everyday Krishna conscious activity. Yes, that's either room. Because they dwell on an intellectual platform. As he says, no? What is that word? Ata pite deva padam bhujatvaya ప్రసాదలేశాన్ గృహీతయే భవి జానాతి తత్వం భగవన్ మహిమ్నో నచాన్యయే కోపి చిరం విచిన్వ లాస్ట్ లైన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ సార్ దే స్ట్రెచ్ దర్ మైండ్స్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద అబ్జర్వేటివ్ ట్రూత్ అండ్ దే అక్వైర్ నాలెడ్జ్ లిటిల్ బై లిటిల్ బై లిటిల్ నేతి నేతి ప్రాసెస్ దే ట్రై టు అండర్స్టాండ్ గాడ్ లైక్ దట్ సో వీల్ డు సమ్ కీర్తన్స్